He is risen.
He is risen indeed. My name is Betsy Turner. I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. And this message is for April 12th, which is our fifth Sunday of not meeting, not gathering due to the coronavirus. But more importantly, it is Easter Sunday. And so a happy Easter to each and every one of you who are watching this. Jesus Christ is risen today, alleluia, our triumphant holy day, alleluia, who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss. Alleluia. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you on this Easter morn. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Our scripture this day comes from the Gospel according to Mark, who in his 16th chapter writes this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus's dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. And they were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here is the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, the women fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Very early, on the first day of the week, these women, bleary-eyed, exhausted from the events of an unbelievable week, and weeping with grief, went trudging through the dim morning light, carrying burial spices to anoint the body of their friend. And here's what I noticed about the story this year. Mark tells us that by the time they arrived at the tomb, just at the break of dawn, the stone had already been rolled back. The tomb was already empty. The resurrection had already happened before they got there. The world had already been intrinsically and forever transformed by the seminal event that stands at the hinge of our history and our hope. In the resurrection, we receive the promise of Easter, the promise that God wins, that in the end, life and love triumph over anything that would come against them, But on this Easter, which we are celebrating in a way unlike we've ever done before, I'm taking particular notice and special comfort in the detail that this good news of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, happens quietly, without any fanfare, in the dark, while no one is watching. There are no fancy dresses or bonnets or shined shoes, no glazed hams or fresh lilies or painted eggs, no organ music or trumpets blasting or people singing Alleluia. It just happened. It was already done when they arrived at first light, which means it took place in the dark of the night, while everyone else slept, or while they tossed and turned, restless with grief and anguish over what had happened and all that had been lost. In the dark of confusion and fear, guilt and despair, of hopes dashed and the familiar world turned completely upside down, that's when the resurrection happened. Well, no one was watching. Nobody planned for it. No one was there to decorate or orchestrate or pontificate about it. It just happened. Sometime in the middle of the night, Jesus rose from the dead and emerged from that tomb while no one was watching. He triumphed over the powers of sin and darkness and terror and death and made the world new. In the dark, while the world was still broken and aching and fearful and corrupt, and because it was all of those things, because the future was uncertain, and while no one knew anything of what was happening, with no one there to see it or name it or proclaim it, hope was born anyway, on its own, a gift from God, pure grace, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And this is good news. But for the ones who first received the good news, it didn't feel like good news quite yet. Pay attention to their reaction. No one sings praises there at the tomb. No one breaks into song. No one starts up a hallelujah chorus. The news of resurrection is met in this way. As they entered the tomb, they were alarmed. And then, receiving the news from the angel, one of God's messengers, they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And Mark chooses to leave the story and end his whole gospel with this. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This Easter, I can relate to these women, exactly as they are portrayed in Mark's gospel, and maybe you can too. Their fear and their anxiety, their questions and the sheer terror of not having answers, their grief and their anger and their exhaustion in the face of human suffering and corruption and violence and injustice. I get why the Easter message didn't make much sense to them, not at first, and why they went away unsure and afraid. I feel their alarm, and I understand their hesitance to believe this unbelievable piece of good news that Christ is risen indeed. It's hard to see good news when your eyes are full of tears, and it is hard to hold on to hope when your hands are full of burial spices. But the thing about Easter, the thing about this good news is, it's true anyway. Whether we get around to singing our alleluias or not, whether we can gather to wish each other a happy Easter or not, whether we can spread the right meal for an Easter dinner, whether we feel joy today, or some hesitance, or some sorrow, whether the story rings true for you right now, or a little bit hollow, even whether we believe it or not, on this particular day, and in this particular strange season. Regardless of all of that, it's still true. He was still raised from the dead, and our hope is still secure, even if, like those women on that first Easter morning, we too are confused and overwhelmed and stunned and afraid and feeling very much abandoned and alone and looking around wondering where in the world this risen Christ might be amid all the mess of the still broken world. It's still true. The resurrection still happened. Quietly, without fanfare, in the dark, while no one was watching, it happened. It is true. He is risen indeed. And do you know where they found him? Do you know where in the world Christ was? Where he showed up? Mark doesn't tell us. That passage I read you is the end of Mark, and it ends with the women fleeing, afraid and silent, but John tells us about Jesus' first appearance to the disciples, and this is what he says. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you." Y'all, did you get it? They were inside, behind locked doors, because they were afraid. And that's where Christ showed up. They were socially distancing from a dangerous and fearful world, and Jesus appeared to them in that place, behind their closed doors. They were sheltering in place, and the risen Christ showed up, bringing his peace twice over, bringing his scars to show his deep love and how he knows our suffering and our fears and what it means to be alone. And by his very presence there, which they recognized, he brought joy and hope and the powerful truth that stands at the heart of our faith, that love wins, that life wins, that God wins, and that it is not over until it is all good news. My friends, this is what Easter is about. It's not about the pretty pastel dresses and baking that perfect ham and having our lilies all lined up in the front of a crowded sanctuary. As much as we love those alleluias and wish we could sing them together today, Easter isn't about all that pomp and circumstance. It's about something that happens in the dark, without fanfare, while no one is watching. Something we may not be able to see or believe or grasp, especially when the light is dim and our hands are full of burial spices. But it is something good and real and deep and true. And I believe that it will find us, that the Easter good news will seek us out, even though we can't celebrate it all in the same place and in all the usual ways. I believe that the risen one will come to us, even as we are locked behind closed doors. He is risen, my friends. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen. Sing we to our God above, alleluia. Praise eternal as God's love,
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Alleluia.
Let us pray. Living God, on this most joyous day, we offer you our thanks and our praise, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator and lover of all humanity. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Even when we turned away from you, you never rejected us. You spoke words of mercy and love through the prophets, promising to swallow up death forever and to host a banquet for all people, a feast of life-giving sustenance. We praise you for Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate made flesh. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us. Risen from the dead, he gives us new life. Most resilient God, source and substance of all being, we give you thanks for your unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus. On this strangest of all Easters, help us to receive the good news and to find your presence breaking into wherever we are. As we always do, but perhaps with particular urgency these days, we do pray for the sick and those who care for them, for the dying and for those who grieve, especially those who do so alone. The poor and those who are most vulnerable, for the anxious and those who feel alone. For those in seats of power, that they may lead with wisdom for the common good, and for ourselves, that you would give us all we need for the facing of this day, this week, and this whole situation. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. We pray in the name of the one who died on the cross and the one who is raised this day in newness of life so that we all might have the promise of the eternal. Our friend, Jesus the Christ, who in his life among us taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now will you join me in singing the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. My friends, I wish you a joyous Easter, however and wherever you are celebrating. Do continue to stay in and stay in touch and stay generous as we continue our time of not gathering, at least through the month of April. When we are back together, I am planning for us to have a big in-person Easter celebration. and we will sing our Alleluias together. I am looking forward to that time and praying that you stay healthy and well until we're able to meet again. But until that time, I charge you, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship, trusting in the risen Christ, watching for him to come into your locked spaces. Go forth in the name of the Lord and rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go from this time, knowing and trusting and believing that you do not go alone. For God is moving between us, and the Holy Spirit binds us together, and the risen one is not in the empty tomb or in the empty church, but on the loose in the world and at work among us and through us. So my friends, knowing this, be at peace and have a happy Easter. Amen.